Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday, October 6th, 2017, and we're about 60 hours or so away from the Green Bay Packers taking on the Dallas Cowboys at Jerry World, the site of their playoff victory last season in the divisional round. It was a very exciting game, and I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of points again this year. And to break all of that down, here with me is Tom Silverstein on this episode of the Packers Podcast. Tom, it's good to have you back again. Two in a row.
Yeah, feeling good. Ready to roll.
So let's talk about some of the matchups that are going to be important. Would you rather start on offense or defense?
Let's start with Dallas's offense versus the Packers' defense. This is going to be an interesting game because I think, as Dom Capers pointed out, the Cowboys scored on the first four possessions, 3 touchdowns and a field goal against the Rams on a week ago on Sunday. And then they just fell apart after that. And so which offense are the Packers going to see, and are they going to see it the entire game? I think that's a big question. I think Dallas is going to come out and try to establish the run, establish Zeke Elliott, and see whether the Packers can defend it. I'm interested to see how much nitro that Capers plays. You know, he's gotta account for Jason Witten, and that's what Nitro does the best, is help take out tight ends. So, geez, it'll be interesting to see how they attack that.
Yeah, I think the offensive line for the Cowboys is interesting because there's been a number of articles written lately about how it's not quite as dominant as it was last season. And, you know, I watched a little bit of that game against the Rams, and they had a backup in at left guard. They had Jonathan Cooper in there for the injured Chaz Green, and Cooper had a really rough game. He was sort of destroyed a number of times.
Going against Aaron Donald.
Exactly.
A lot.
And it looks like Chaz Green is going to play this week. He's been a full participant in practice twice with a hip injury, so that'll be a little bit of a boost to them. But Clay Matthews mentioned the obvious, which is Ronald Leary not being there is a pretty big loss. Leary was a decent player for them, signed with Denver as a free agent. And I don't know, what do you make of the fact that they've still got three, you know, all-pro caliber players and then two new faces there?
I don't think that there's a huge drop-off. I think Chaz Green is a good enough player. I don't think Ron Leary was an all-pro or anything. He was a good player, but Chaz Green is sufficient. And then Collins is an amazing athlete. He's taken over for Doug Free at right tackle. And he's a guy who would have been close to a first-round pick if it hadn't had that alleged off-the-field thing that he was being interviewed for, and then it turned out that he was not a suspect at all.
Yeah, and Collins was supposed to be the starter at left guard, but he got hurt last year, and that's when Leary came in and ended up, you know, playing well enough to hold that spot all season. But, no, I think you're right. I think that this line is still really good, and I think that there's some real question marks for the Packers about how they deal with them.
There is. Tyron Smith was a non-participant and has been dealing with a back injury, and he's had back injuries in the past. That would be huge if he's not available to
yes,
play.
It would.
You know, then he really, that's going to be Nick Perry's side, and Nick Perry does really well against backups. He could have a pretty good game, and I'm sure they would put Matthews over there as well. That would make things a little bit tougher for Dallas. I think Capers is going to try to load up the box and do what he can with his nitro, try to throw a lot of different things at Dak Prescott.
I asked Mike McCarthy during his Thursday press conference about how much Nick Perry can play this week relative to last week, and he sort of said that they were going to kind of increase him gradually. But then at the end of the day Thursday, we talked to the defensive assistant coaches, and Winston Moss, the outside linebackers coach, basically said he's now a full part of the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's reasonable to expect that Perry and Matthews are going to essentially play the roles they always have, and then Brooks will be sprinkled in?
I think they'll rotate more than you would expect. I still think Nick Perry won't be used on an every down basis. I do think he will play more than he played last week. But Ahmad Brooks has something to offer, and the fresher you can keep those pass rushers, you know, the better it is. I know Clay Matthews wants as many attempts at the quarterback as he can get, but you know, when you can throw a changeup at a guy and have an Ahmad Brooks go at you after having dealt with Matthews, that's to your advantage, you know? And then even Fackrell, I know we've talked about how bad he was in training camp, but he's actually had, I think, three quarterback hits and has been, you know, not that bad. And he offers a different kind of levered guy, long levered guy. So, yeah, I think there will be playing time for all of them. I don't think you can keep Ahmad Brooks on the bench the whole time.
When Ezekiel Elliott was on the conference call earlier this week, somebody asked him essentially, when you see the Packers playing this nitro with a safety in the box, do you view that as just, you know, a chance to rip off big runs? And he was pretty diplomatic about it, but he kind of said yes. And so, I mean, if you're Elliott and you know what you're running behind with that offensive line, and you know that, you know, there have been instances where, although Blake Martinez has played better this year, he has shown some issues at times, getting lost in the wash. You know, Josh Jones is still learning this position. Morgan Burnett is about as steady as you can get for that nitro spot. But do you think Elliott thinks he's in for a big game this weekend?
I'm sure he does. I'm sure the focus is on him having a big game this week. They really got to get him going. And it's probably a big focus of the offensive line as well. And I think we'll see a lot of different looks. Their run game isn't real complicated, but they're really good at getting at the second level. And I don't know how Capers is going to be able to keep blockers off, linemen off of Josh Jones or Morgan Burnett, whoever is the nitro linebacker. That's going to be a challenge. He's really going to need those guys up front to hold up the line. So I expect them to really try to establish Elliott.
I think they should, based on what we've seen so far this week, I think it's a pretty good bet that Mike Daniels is going to play. You know, I don't know if it's, you know, 70-30, but, I mean, he's been out at practice both days from the beginning, so it's not like he's joining late and is part of the rehab group, and I just have a feeling he's going to go because they need him in this type of a game. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, I sort of feel like they're sandbagging us on a few things. So they got all these guys practicing, and, you know, McCarthy kind of let it slip today that, you know, Davante Adams was just going to do individual drills. And, you know, I just wonder whether they're practicing them and then they're just going to, a couple of them, they're just going to say, no, they're not playing.
Yeah, it's definitely,
you know,
possible.
Just to keep Dallas, you know, on its toes. Maybe Brian Bulaga's ankle isn't ready. Or
Bakhtiari's hamstring.
Yeah, or Bakhtiari needs to practice, you know, some to get his hamstring strengthened up. So I'm not even sure that Daniels is a full go. I guess we won't really know until we see the injury report tomorrow. But I'm not really counting anybody in for sure. They could really use Mike Daniels on this, but let's see. I'm just not sure.
As we mentioned the other day, if Daniels does play, and it looks like the Packers are going to have to play a decent amount of base defense against the Cowboys, or at least some, you would look at Daniels and Dial and Clark, I think, probably, as your three guys up front. But if Daniels doesn't go, how big of a problem could that be for this run defense? Because then you're talking about Lowry, Clark, and Quentin Dial with, Ricky Jean-Francois being mixed in.
Yeah. I actually think they won't play much base defense.
Really?
Yeah, because I think the Cowboys are going to go with a lot of three-receiver sets.
Okay. I was just going by the Rams game when they came out and did a lot of two tight end stuff to start the game.
Yeah, and I think they want to probably see if they can work Dez Bryant into the game and, focus on Elliott, but I don't think they want to just pound it. I think they want to kind of mix it up a little so they can do some play action, get Elliott going, but maybe do it with three wide receivers, use Witten flexed out. That's my gut feeling is how they'll go at it. And if that's the case, maybe they want to get the Packers in the nitro package. And that's one way to do it is to make sure that...
With three wides, yeah.
Yeah, with three wides that they have to defend that.
I thought that you asked an interesting and intelligent question at the coaches yesterday. When you asked Winston Moss, when they move Perry and Matthews inside, are those guys essentially D-tackles? Mm-hmm. Because we've seen some times where they're inverted. And instead of playing from their traditional, wide nine, wide seven, whatever, they line up where the D linemen would typically line up. And I wonder if that's something that they will try, maybe not more, but just make sure that they incorporate if Daniels is unable to go. Because without Daniels, we've talked about it, they don't really have any interior pass rush. And if you move Matthews and Perry inside for a snap here, a snap there, or Brooks, because he can do it too, it at least offers some sort of a threat through the middle that I don't think you have if Daniels isn't there.
Yeah, well... One caveat to that is they only use it on passing downs.
Right.
They won't do it when it's third and three,
right.
Or something like that. It's got to be third and seven because then they figure they're just not going to run the ball. I mean, they might do a draw play or something like that. But it's different in that it pits these guys against big maulers on the inside, and they don't really know, are they going to run stunts with the defensive linemen? Are they going to drop back? They can drop back into coverage. They can do zone drops. It's kind of not unique, but it's a way to sort of get all your pass rushers on the field
Yes.
at the same time and create some problems. But it doesn't work when things get crowded on the offensive line and they keep a back in, and then all of a sudden, they can't beat. There's not a lot of room to operate for Clay Matthews coming up the middle.
So let's move to the skill position players a little bit. How do you think the Packers will try and defend Jason Witten? We've seen so far this season that Morgan Burnett has kind of been the tight end whisperer. He followed
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham around. Did he follow Who did they? I can't even remember who they played in the second game.
Austin Hooper,
a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Eifert was out, right?
Right.
So they
right.
didn't have to deal with that. And then against the Bears, they don't really have too much. I mean, Miller had that one catch, but that was against Bryce. Do you think that that's a viable option again against Witten?
I do. I think that will be the game plan, is to have Morgan Burnett cover Jason Witten when possible. I mean, it won't happen all the time.
Right.
But I think either out of the nitro or in the nickel, in the nickel defense, Morgan Burnett can go if Jason Witten lines off the line
Yes.
quite a bit. He can go up and cover him, or he can cover him coming off with his hand down off the three-point stance. So, yeah, I would suspect that'll be it. And then I think Clinton Dix will help Kevin King. I think Kevin King's going to go well, I don't know if Kevin King will go. I don't think Kevin King will follow Dez Bryant, but I think Dez Bryant will end up lining up against him
Yeah.
quite a bit. And then Clinton Dix will kind of be the double guy, I think.
One area that I think is a little bit up in the air is what they do with the dime package when they need to use that. Because with Joe Thomas hurt, again, he was playing a much smaller role than he did last year. But that's the guy that they like in there in the dime defense for his ability and coverage. And he had that terrific breakup at the goal line that was like, what, 40 yards downfield against the Bears that could have been a touchdown. So if he doesn't go, of course you can slide Martinez into that role, which I think would be the most logical choice. But part of me wonders, and maybe this is just kind of me being more curious than anything, if they would throw Josh Jones in that role and just say, hey, do what you can do with your speed and athleticism.
Sure. I don't see why not. I think that's definitely a possibility. I also think they could sort of rotate things and put, let's say, Jake Ryan's in the game and have Jake Ryan rush off the edge and have Matthews drop, you know, and run with Elliott or the tight end or whatever. They have some options in that way. Even Brooks could do that. So it kind of depends, you know. I think they can protect Jake Ryan a little bit if they want him to be the dime linebacker, or Blake Martinez, by blitzing him. And then, you know, you have someone else there to pick up his guy. That's probably the best they're going to be able to do that, or maybe they do just play Josh Jones in the middle on as the lone linebacker.
The biggest reason I suggested that is because, you know, if there was one real weakness in Martinez's game last year, it was his coverage or play action, either one. And I just wondered if that makes it too easy for the Cowboys to match him up with Elliott, and then it's just toast.
Well, you know, the thing you have to remember is that when they go dime now, they have Morgan Burnett as one of the slot guys, and Josh Jones essentially can be the other slot guy. Sometimes he's the other slot guy.
Right.
And then, you know, they bring in Bryson and Joe Thomas. And, I mean, Joe Thomas is the inside linebacker, and then Bryson and Clinton Dix are the safeties.
Right.
So that's one way they could do it. And then, you know, they might be able to do okay with Jake Ryan or Blake Martinez in that role. And then maybe there's times where Blake Martinez blitzes and Josh Jones drops back into coverage. So
I guess I just wondered, so like if the Cowboys put three receivers on the field, so you have Bryant, Williams, and Beasley, and then they also have Witten, and either he's in line or split out. So that's four receivers, essentially.
Yep.
And then Elliott in the backfield. A lot of times what the Packers do with Montgomery, doesn't that make it so that the inside linebacker has to match up with Martinez?
It can. Yeah, it can. But
Excuse me, the inside linebacker has to match up with Elliott.
Yeah,
sorry.
But you can also force Elliott to stay in by blitzing.
Right, okay.
So, you know, part of that is a cat-and-mouse game of, okay, well then, if you're going to put Elliott back there and try to, you know, run routes with him, they'll blitz Josh Jones off the corner or Burnett off the slot, I mean. So there's a lot of gamesmanship there. You know, that's another reason why I think that Capers is kind of going to kind of bring some heat if he can, just to keep Dak Prescott off balance and also make Ezekiel Elliott stay in and block.
Aside from King, based on what we've seen in practice and based on, you know, the injury report, how do you think the rest of the cornerback rotation shakes out for this game?
I think it'll be, you know, so they'll start with House and King.
You think House is going to play?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
Yeah, I mean, he was a full participant Thursday in a padded practice. That's a pretty good sign he's going to play. So they'll start there, and then I think Josh Hawkins is their third corner. I think he's ahead of Demaryius Randall. I mean, we'll see. We don't know that for sure, but Joe Witt sure made it seem like Hawkins had earned more playing time.
I almost think that their dime defense at this point is better with two corners and two safeties than it is with any other combination.
Yeah.
In other words, I think that if you get King, House, Burnett, and Jones as your four guys in the dime in terms of who are playing the cornerback type positions, I think that's a stronger four than any other combination that would involve Hawkins, Randall, or Rollins right now.
Yeah. The problem is that House and King don't play the slot position. And so you sometimes need a slot corner. You know, sometimes you just don't have a good matchup. Beasley against Josh Jones is not a good matchup.
No,
for
that's a great point.
So you may have to play Demaryius Randle in the slot.
Would you take him over Rollins in the slot against Beasley? I mean, Beasley's not that fast.
No, but he's quick. He's like Walker in that.
Yeah.
He can. He may not be fast, but he's quick.
Okay.
I don't think Rollins does well against those guys.
I don't know if Randle does either, though.
Yeah, I don't know what Randle does. And
Hawkins doesn't play the slot, really.
No. I mean, I think he can, but that's not a position he's played a lot.
Right.
Yeah, that's an issue. I don't know what you do with Randle. I have a feeling that they will play him in some nickel and dime.
Oh, I think they will, too.
And
I would bench him, but I don't think – and I don't mean from a – ability standpoint, after last week I would bench him, but I don't think there's any chance that happens.
Yeah, I don't think there is either. I think they're sitting around going, how are we going to cover, you know, Beasley in the slot, and thinking we don't have anybody who can do that other than Randle, and so we got to have him.
Anything else with Cowboys offense against Packers defense before we flip over?
No, I don't think so. I think that's about it.
All right, so on the other side of the ball, we can start up front again. So based on the injury report and what we've seen from practice, I'm going to say both tackles start.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if Bulaga – I mean, Bulaga is a guy that will play when he's able to. And mm-hmm. Even in just my time here, I've seen him play games where he probably shouldn't have played. But he gave himself a lot of outs this week by saying, you know, it could be the type of thing where I drop out. It could be the type of thing where, you know, after warm-ups it doesn't feel great. And so that made me wonder how healthy he really is. You talk to him a lot. I know we mentioned it the other day, but do you think both tackles will go?
I wish I could have seen more in practice of them. I looked at Bulaga and his ankle was taped up like Herman Munster's boot. You know, it looked like he was wearing one of his boots. I think they'll play both start. If they do, then that's a huge advantage. If they don't, you know, Lane Taylor, it'll be a challenge, but, you know, they can do it again. I think they can. But to answer your question, yeah, I think Bulaga and Bakhtiari will play.
So what is your impression of how this offensive line matches up with Dallas's defensive front? And, you know, for those who might not know, Dallas plays a 4-3. They rotate a ton of guys through there, just like Atlanta did. They might play 5, 6, 7, you know, maybe even 8 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Their standouts, I think DeMarcus Lawrence is leading the NFL in sacks right now with 7.5.
Yeah.
You know, Malik Collins isn't a bad player. Crawford isn't a bad player. They don't have any superstars, but I think they've got a number of quality guys.
Yeah, and they're getting Irving back this week, and he had a big game against them in the victory at Lambeau Field. He had a surprisingly good game. And he's 6'7". I think he's listed at 6'7". And then DeMarcus Lawrence is a big guy, and that's why, you know, you really got to have – it would be a tough matchup for Justin McCray and Lane Taylor to handle two really big, tall guys like that. So they really do need Bakhtiari and Bulaga to handle that. And if they can – if they start and they play pretty well, I can see McCarthy really working on Dallas's secondary and trying to take advantage of some of the youth they have there, and particularly trying to work their safeties.
So I think that while the Cowboys are probably going to gain a player back in Irving up front, it doesn't look like they're going to have Sean Lee, or at least that's going to remain really questionable.
Doesn't seem like it. Although they should get Anthony Hitchens back.
Right.
He's been gone for a while. That's not the same as Sean Lee, but, you know, Hitchens may start for Jalen Smith. So I don't know how they're going to work that. I really don't. But if they don't have Sean Lee, they're definitely not the same defense.
So if they don't have Sean Lee, do you think that influences anything that McCarthy wants to do from a play-calling standpoint? Because My personal opinion is I don't think Montgomery's going to play. Mm-hmm. I think Jamal Williams will play. Mm-hmm. And then I think Aaron Jones splits some time with him there. So if you have those running backs and you do have both the tackles like we thought will play and Sean Lee is out, I know that McCarthy probably wants to sling the ball around, but is there any chance they can have success running the ball with that combination?
I don't know. I don't know if they can. They can. I think they can run it enough, but I think this is one of those games where you want to get into no huddle and you want to keep Dallas from being able to substitute a lot. Like you said, they like to rotate those defensive linemen in. I think you want to, you know, get Irving on the field and get him stuck on the field because, you know, he's been suspended for 4 weeks. You know, he's not going to be or 3 weeks, I guess it was. No, 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
You know, he's not going to be in great condition. So I think this is one of those games where they spread out a lot. If they have Bulaga and Bakhtiari, they spread them out and they try to get, you know, Martellus Bennett a good matchup somewhere and see what happens.
And we forgot to mention, Brian Price is on this defensive front.
Oh,
he's
that's
playing
right.
a handful yeah. of snaps a game. The yep. ex-Packer claimed off waivers after final cuts.
Yep.
So it'll be a familiar face up front there.
Also, we don't know about Davante Adams. And I kind of think sandbagging on Davante Adams. You know, I just have this feeling that he might not play. Yeah. I mean,
Boy.
He's looked good in practice, but I'm saying when it comes, push comes to shove,
he's
McKenzie
out.
Goes, no, I'm not going to do it.
What if he clears the protocol, though? Because it's not up to McKenzie.
Everything's up to McKenzie.
Well, so he goes to the independent neurologist, gets cleared,
yeah.
and then McKenzie makes a second ruling
yeah.
or whatever?
Yeah, or McKenzie could not send him to the...
Oh, I get what you're saying.
You know,
okay.
he can just say you're in the concussion protocol and we're not ready to send you to the independent neurologist.
Gotcha.
So I could see that happening.
And again, just because he was in the concussion protocol today, and he might still be tomorrow, today being Thursday night when we record this, tomorrow being Friday, we've seen some really late clearances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sam Shields, before that playoff game, my first year here, was in the concussion protocol, didn't practice all week, got cleared Saturday before a Sunday playoff game, and then played every snap
mm-hmm.
of the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could always take him to see a specialist in Dallas if they wanted to.
Yeah, I don't really know how they do that.
I don't either. But it happens.
Yeah, somehow it happens. Maybe it doesn't happen. Shoot, I don't know. You know, maybe they just go and get like a chiropractor and he signs off on it or something like that. I don't know.
You're suggesting conspiracies here.
It's the NFL. Anything can happen.
That's true. So now let's look a little bit at the Packers skill position players against the back half of this defense for the Cowboys. So, you know, it looks like they're going to have all their corners. So you'll have Orlando Scandrick, Anthony Brown, Nolan Carroll. They get the rookie Chidobe Awuzie back this week, Jordan Lewis. It's not a stellar bunch.
It's not. It's there's some yards to be gained there. I think they can make some hay in that against that secondary. They did in the game last year, and they didn't have Jordy Nelson. You know, Davante Adams had a pretty big game. Cobb had a decent game, and I think Jared Cook had a decent game. So I think they can do some damage there. I'm interested to see how it gets matched up and whether they just sit back in that Tampa 2 and force the Packers to try to run the ball. If I were them, that's what I would do. I would sit back there and count on my front four to try to get some pressure.
Well, as we mentioned the other day, that's what they did in the first meeting here in the regular season, and they made Rodgers look really uncomfortable by essentially just giving him a lot of time and then getting some pressure here and there with the front four. You know, again, if Adams doesn't play, then I'll be honest. I'd like to see Geronimo Allison more. I'd like to see what he can do with another, you know, the majority of a game or a full game, similar to what he had, was that Atlanta?
Yeah.
And he was the leading receiver that day, over 100 yards. I'd like to see him have another chance.
Yeah, yeah, he would. It would be actually, it was Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, correct.
I mean, he's not Davante Adams, but he's an intriguing guy, and you know, you'd wonder what he would be like if he were on the Bears, for instance. He could be one of their top receivers, get a lot of snaps, and probably catch a lot of balls. I don't know, but it's not going to happen here.
So I asked you what the best or most likely way was for the Packers to cover Jason Witten. On the flip side of that, how do you think the Cowboys try and match up with Martellus Bennett, assuming Bennett, you know, doesn't have to stay in as much to chip if Bakhtiari and Bulaga play?
Yeah, I think you just cover him with a linebacker right now.
I think
now.
So, too.
I think
he can't run away from anybody.
Yeah, he can't. And he's slow. And I think what you hope to get is either some pick routes, or you try to get them to just sit down in some zones. If they're going to play cover two, then you see where how deep their inside linebackers are going to drop, and dink and dunk until they do something else. Because if he's catching the ball and getting 6-8 yards,
that's fine.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. You know, they just need him on third down to hang on to the ball when it's 3rd and 6. They need him to stop dropping passes.
The best way that I sort of think about it now is that Jared Cook was able to create some things both with his size and with pure speed. Mm-hmm. With Bennett now, I almost think that for him to get open, he has to rely almost totally on body position at this point. And it almost makes me think that he has to play kind of like you'd go and get a rebound in a basketball game.
Yeah.
He's either got to find ways to get across the body of defenders so he can, you know, slash over the middle, or he has to find ways to box out smaller guys against the zone when, you know, he's facing Rodgers and a guy from zone is coming, trying to go through his back to knock the ball away. I just think that there's no chance that he can beat linebackers with speed anymore.
I do think I get the sense that he's better with his hand in the ground. The big catch he had against the Bears, a 26-yarder, he had a great release off the line. He split.
Did he chip
defensive
on that play?
End? No.
Okay.
He just slipped the two. He was lined up between the end and the tackle, I think, and it was a short yardage play, so they were all packed in. But I was really impressed how he got off that. And his release was good, and then he got wide open because, you know, it took a while for someone to recognize he was running downfield. I kind of think that they should use him more in line and maybe go with Kendricks more as a slot guy, as a stand-up guy, and see how that works.
So if the Cowboys do sit back in that Tampa 2 and they do dare the Packers to run, do you think it's Jamal Williams or Aaron Jones? I just think that Aaron Jones showed a little wiggle, a little excitement, a little something. Anything. And Williams just kind of seems to put his head down and wrap his arms around the ball and just run straight ahead.
Yeah.
So I think they would be better served to go with Jones.
I do, too. I think one way they could do this is make Aaron Jones the starter and Jamal Williams the third down back.
Okay.
And let him handle a lot of the blocking assignments, let him be the screen guy, and run Aaron Jones. I don't think you can overrun Aaron Jones. I think he's one of those guys who's tough, built low to the ground. I don't think he takes really big hits. And why not? Let's see him.
Anything else? Have we covered it?
I think so. Offensively, yeah, we've pretty much.
Do you agree with me that Montgomery's not going to play?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I think that's very unlikely that he plays.
So I'm trying to look here. The only other injuries on offense are what? We think that the tackles are going to play, and then Montgomery's the only other guy on offense besides Adams.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how that plays out, but I don't think Montgomery's going to go. He wasn't even out there for the beginning of practice today, which is the easiest portion.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem like, you know, he's trending in the right direction. Should we make picks? Have you made a pick yet?
I'm going to hold out till the end. No, I guess we can make our picks now. I got to make it anyways.
Okay, I'll give you a couple seconds. I'll make mine first.
Okay, you go ahead.
So I'm going to take the Packers. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I just think that Rodgers can shred the secondary a little bit for the Cowboys. So I think there'll be points on the board, and I'll take the Packers 34-30.
Ooh, wow. Big scoring game.
Pretty similar to what we saw in the playoff game.
Yeah.
Close to that.
Yeah. That could be the case.
I could be very wrong, you know?
Well, I certainly have been wrong a lot.
Well, we both took the Bears, so.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go with the Packers as well. I'm not going to go quite as high a score. I think it's going to be 27-21. And I think it'll really come down to just probably – which team hangs on to the ball the most, and then also which team is more balanced. So if the Packers can get a little bit of a running game and then, you know, get Rodgers going, then I think they got a good chance of winning.
You know, real quick, that's one thing that you mentioned that we haven't even talked about because we haven't really seen it. Haven't been any fumbling issues for the Packers this season after there were a lot in training camp. Montgomery fumbled, Jones fumbled, Williams was the only one that didn't.
Yeah.
And receivers haven't fumbled either.
No, and Rodgers has thrown three interceptions.
So who knows what universe we live in.
You know, who knows? Maybe this is year he does a little Brett Favre and has like 17 interceptions or something. But we'll see.
You got to pump the live blog. It's the last chance.
Live blog. Don't forget, Sunday, 3:25. I'll start about 3 o'clock, 2:55. Don't be late. Get your questions in. I try to answer them all. Mike comes in at halftime. It's a great time. Just be there.
Be there for the live blog. Be sure to tune in for this podcast. And we'll be bringing the microphone to Dallas. So we'll have another one for you bright and early Monday morning. And until then, we will talk to you guys soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.